Governor Granholm, thanks for joining us. So you were recently named as a co-chair of the Hillary Clinton transition team, should she be elected president in November. And we should also point out there is also a Donald Trump, a Republican transition team. In fact, there is a federal law that encourages this for the sake of stability between administrations. So what are the responsibilities of this team pre-November?
Well, it's interesting because there was a law that was passed in 2012, which gave a little bit of resources to both to whoever the presidential general election nominees would be for either party. And so the General Services Administration opens up two floors of a building in Washington, D.C., one for the Democrats, one for the Republicans, to be able to begin planning their transition. And in any presidential campaign, you have to be able to, one, take the candidate's promises on the campaign trail and turn them into reality, or at least plan for that process. Two, you have to make sure you identify the right people to fill the positions to make those promises come true. And three, you've got to review how the government is currently structured and how you would, what changes you want to make. And so the transition teams plan for that. Before the election, it's a very skeletal effort because you want to make sure, obviously, that people are focused on getting the candidate elected. After the election, it really blows up to a full-blown, we have got to plan for a whole new transition of power, and particularly to make those promises reality in the first 100 days, the ones that she has publicly pledged to do. So that is what the transition team does.
Mm-hmm. So what does a co-chair do? And in particular, what are your responsibilities as a co-chair?
Well, I'm one of there's in this on Clinton's team, there's one chair, Ken Salazar, the former Secretary of the Interior, a former senator from Colorado, and someone with whom I served as attorney general because he was the attorney general of Colorado back in the day. And then there are four co-chairs. I'm one of the co-chairs, and my portfolio will include the things that I'm passionate about, which includes jobs, energy, advanced manufacturing, small business, that kind of thing, and infrastructure. But everybody else does, has a slice of it. And so making sure that those promises are carried out in the areas that I'm overseeing is what I'm going to be focused on.
And what do you need to be focused on in those areas?
Making sure you know that what she has said will actually become law in, given the scenarios of what could happen in Congress. So planning for that is really what we are looking at. But as I say, it's very, it's a very bare bones effort at the start, and then it will ramp up afterward.
Okay. Well, let's talk about politics and Michigan. When you look at the landscape in Michigan, what gives you hope and confidence heading into November?
Well, I think first of all that Michigan is not, when Donald Trump comes to Michigan and talks about Detroit as though it's a third world country and talks about African Americans with these massive broad swath stereotypes, I am hopeful and know that Michigan's not going to be supportive of candidates who are divisive and who unearth racial stereotypes, who want, in fact, if you just look at the two conventions, the Democrats' convention, when we came out, we were so united and excited about and patriotic about a country that celebrates our unique, diverse heritage, where people come from all sorts of places, and except for Native Americans, of course, but we are the face of America as a united, diverse people. I have great hope, because Michigan is a diverse state, that Michigan will reject the politics of division and really embrace what she has been saying, is that we're stronger together. And mostly, I'm really excited that she is so focused on creating and keeping advanced manufacturing jobs, to be able to, stamp products made in America, made in Michigan, and export them around the country or around the world. But we haven't had really an aggressive manufacturing policy in this country. And she has really stressed this and the importance of this. So for Michigan, obviously, such a heavy footprint in manufacturing, that's very exciting as well. So I think it's one of the reasons why she's been doing well in the polls in Michigan.
Give us just a thumbnail of what that manufacturing policy would look like.
Well, she, for example, let me just take the slice of this that involves advanced manufacturing of clean energy products, for example. So, you know, we built car 1.0. We are building car 2.0, the electric vehicle. Her goal is to make sure that we can attract the whole line of supply that goes into that vehicle, which we've got a good concentration on right now. But similarly, she wants other states to have an ability to track the supply chain for the products that they want to be able to build. That means investing or allowing for tax reductions in areas where they want to cluster those industrial efforts, particularly in the hardest hit areas. It means streamlining the permitting processes so that it's easy to be able to locate there. It means access to capital. So she'll have a whole bank, an infrastructure bank, and an access to capital effort for small businesses as well as for the, you know, being able to build the products that are that large businesses are building as well. She's got a whole effort on investing in the research and development component of advanced manufacturing, which obviously would benefit our universities as well as the spin-offs from the universities. So all of this wraparound strategy, including training, is what she's got on the table for advanced manufacturing.
Okay. Now getting back to politics, what makes you concerned when you look at Michigan about how this election might turn?
Well, I do worry that some will listen to the strains of Donald Trump's negative pitch because perhaps they have been disproportionately and negatively affected by the changes in America and Michigan's economy with the loss of manufacturing jobs through, you know, trade. The trade issue is really an important issue. I'm glad that she came to Michigan and said clearly that she was not going to support the Trans-Pacific Partnership and that she would not negotiate trade deals that hurt America, that in fact she would hold our trading partners to higher standards. She was very clear about that. But I do, you know, I know that people, believe me, I know that people were hurt during the recession and for the loss of manufacturing jobs in Michigan. And we didn't have really an aggressive federal policy other than, of course, really importantly, to save the auto industry, which the Obama administration was so great about. But there hasn't been a real focus generally on making sure the U.S. can manufacture advanced products and what the strategies are surrounding that. So I'm hopeful that her message will trump, if you will, his message, which is really his policy has just been about trade. And it's not even clear to me exactly what kind of policy trade impacts that he would endorse other than to say no.
Well, how hard is it for her to deliver that message? Because free trade and these trade agreements are so closely associated with the administration of President Bill Clinton.
Yeah, and she's, you know, she has said that she would like to renegotiate NAFTA. NAFTA did really hurt us. And in addition to that, we haven't enforced the trade agreements that we've got. And one of her big policies is that she's picked up on something, in fact, that Senator Stabenow has been long trumpeting, which is to have a trade prosecutor and to beef up the enforcement efforts of the trade representative's office so that we can really ensure that the trade agreements that we do have are enforced and that we hold our trading partners to the same high standards that we hold ourselves to. So, but there's no doubt that this issue of trade has been resonant both in, you know, in Ohio, in Michigan, and in the industrial Midwest, and that's why she's been really strong about it.
You say that the trade deals have not been enforced. Why has the Obama administration struggled with enforcing trade deals?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be unfair to them because they have, you know, between the Bush administration and the Obama administration, there has been a significant amped up enforcement, but it's still not enough. You know, we need a tiger at the World Trade Organization. We don't need a pussycat. Not that the Obama administration has been a pussycat. They've had some teeth and some claws, but you really need to have what other countries have, which is a full-blown effort to help our industries combat the unfair practices of their competitors overseas. You know, if there is an effort by China to subsidize their products so that they are much cheaper than ours. If they're dumping steel, et cetera, we've got to go after that. We can't just let it happen. If China is manipulating currency to make their products less expensive and ours more expensive, we've got to go after that. And so I don't know that they've brought, that the Obama administration's brought the number of cases that need, that are needed, or has had an office that is exclusively focused with an army of prosecutors, trade prosecutors, and that's what she's proposing to do.
Okay. Now, so we see that Donald Trump is going to make another Michigan visit in September. As a matter of fact, he seems to have targeted Michigan as necessary for his prospects. Will we see Hillary Clinton make another Michigan visit soon?
I'm sure. I'm sure you will. I don't know what the exact schedule is, but I'm sure Michigan will continue to be a focus for both of them.
Okay. Now, I can't let you go without asking this. Would you like a role in a Clinton administration? And if so, what would it be? What do you see yourself doing if Hillary Clinton is elected president?
I have not had a single discussion with anybody on the Clinton team about this. This is totally not my focus. My focus is wanting to get her elected. So I'm uncomfortable talking about any future for me when really what I want to focus on is getting her elected.
Understood, but I know you're a planner. What would you like to do?
I'm not going there, Rick. I'm really not. It's just not my, it's not my focus. It's a hypothetical. You know, we got to get her elected.
Okay. Governor Granholm, thanks so much for your time.
You bet. Thanks.